5 years ago, Indiana was dubbed the meth capital of the United States. Legislators partnered with law enforcement to create a plan hoping to lower those numbers. In one way, it worked. The number of meth labs has been steadily declining, but police say there's still just as much meth in the Hoosier state. Meth is being brought into the state from other parts of the country and even the world. As WFIU's Brock Turner reports, at the root of the problem is addiction.
Lisa Livingston never intended for meth to control her life.
The first time I got introduced to it, it was just because it was a cool thing to do. Everybody else was doing it at a party, and I was like, you know, I'll try it. And what I know today is that first time that I picked that drug up was a choice.
What started as recreational use would soon lead to addiction. Livingston says she wanted to stop, but she reached a breaking point in 2013.
I started getting deathly sick because I used methamphetamine every day from 2012 until 2013, every day. I was to the point that I couldn't even get high again to function, and I was laying in bed deathly sick right before I got arrested.
That arrest would serve as a wake-up call.
So if I hadn't have been arrested, I don't think that I would have lived in probably another 30 days. And that's the God's honest truth.
Livingston turned her life around. She sobered up and founded a drug recovery home for women in southern Indiana. She gave us a tour a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, so this is bedroom three. We have a full, this is actually a new part of the house, and it's built on with a breezeway into an old house. So in the
But looming large over our meeting was her pending court appearance to face charges from her 2013 arrest. She was hopeful her actions would prove she had beaten drug addiction and had escaped its vicious cycle. But she was sentenced to 30 years. Lisa isn't alone. The Department of Corrections say one in three Hoosiers residing in Indiana state prisons are battling addiction to methamphetamine. State laws have made it harder to obtain the ingredients people need to make meth, particularly pseudoephedrine. But police say that hasn't stopped the problem. It just changed how people are getting meth. For one, labs are smaller now. Just over an hour northeast of where Livingston was arrested in 2013, Indiana State Troopers Brent Miller and Chip Ayers are on patrol. As members of the Indiana State Police's Meth Suppression Unit, they remember when labs were larger. But that isn't the case anymore.
Smells like a meth lab.
Yeah.
This lab was a plastic bag on the side of a gravel road outside of North Vernon.
What you have here is a what's termed as a one-pot reaction vessel. That's in the Gatorade bottle. It holds the remnants of the ingredients. There's some evidence of some lithium, batteries that are cut open, your cold medicine.
But smaller labs aren't the only way users are acquiring their highs. The troopers partner with federal agencies, like the Drug Enforcement Administration, to infiltrate the newly formed complex pipeline. Greg Westfall is the assistant special agent in charge of the DEA's Indianapolis office. He says much of the meth in Indiana comes from drug cartels in central Mexico.
They could manufacture methamphetamine stronger, cheaper, and get it into the United States for a much larger profit.
Once meth enters the United States, it spiders throughout the country, eventually into the hands of local dealers. Police say they have no idea how much meth is coming into the United States through the border, but they know it's more than the 90,000 pounds the DEA seized in 2017. That's worth millions of dollars on the street. However, few of the officers I spoke with believe President Donald Trump's proposed border wall would have much of an effect on the amount of methamphetamine or other drugs entering the United States.
It's an ongoing thing. We do one thing, they take countermeasures. We do something else, they make countermeasures. It's a constant back and forth thing.
They say it's a matter of supply and demand.
And something is going to have to fill that void. Now, is it going to be another drug? I really don't think so. I don't see cocaine making a resurgence or something like that. They're just going to go back to doing what they were doing before in Indiana, which was cooking a lot of methamphetamine.
Detectives Miller and Ayers continue to hope for a solution that can begin to address the systemic issues contributing to drug abuse and addiction. They realize there's only so much law enforcement can do. They say community support and mental health resources are vital to ensuring people stay sober.
It depends on what county you're in. Some counties have drug court where users can get their sentences modified, and they have all kinds of programs and stuff for them to do. Some counties have that, some counties don't.
Livingston recognized that need when she started the Breakaway. That's why she wiped out much of her savings to get it going.
I'm from a small Indiana county, and there wasn't a lot. You know, there was a meeting with 4-0 guys that talk about alcohol, you know, and I would go there, and I was like, I can't relate to them. And so I would stay clean for a little bit, and then I would end up back in a relapse. And I'll tell you, the only reason why I quit using for a lot of years was because I didn't have the resources to find it.
Livingston's drug rehab center will continue to operate while she's serving her sentence.
I'm guilty. I told on myself that day. I surrendered my will because I knew I just did because I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I don't regret what happened that day because I wouldn't be here today if it didn't happen.
And Livingston says she's okay with the outcome. For WFIU News, I'm Brock Turner.